Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to Wonderland on Points, everybody. Today, we're going to be largely talking about taking trips to Scandinavia, Norway, Denmark, and utilizing the Choice Privilege Rewards Program. We're going to dig into the Choice Program a little bit and give some really good examples about how our friend Cammie, who is back with us today, a two-time guest on the show, has used Choice Rewards to stay many, many nights up in Scandinavia. We're excited to hear about it. Cammie is a travel journalist who knows the ins and outs of the points and miles world. She's been around it for a long time. She has really gone deep in points and miles, and we're so excited that you're back. You're also a friend of the family, because I feel like Joanna's family is my family now, and so you are a friend of the family, and we're so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Yes, we're super excited to dig into this today. I feel like you were really the person that put Choice Hotels really on my radar. I think we were talking about it a little on a previous episode of the podcast that you heard, and you were texting me and you were like, look at these Choice Hotels that we've stayed in. Look at the breakfast spread. Like, this is what you can get if you're digging into the Choice Hotels in the Scandinavia area. And I was like, oh man, we got to have you on to talk about this, because holy cow. It's funny. I feel like we see this across the board, where when you have brands that in the States are just kind of like, eh, and then you go overseas and all of a sudden they're like fancy and amazing. Is that kind of how you feel about Choice as well?
Yeah, because that wouldn't be my first choice, you know, to stay at a Comfort Inn or whatever here in America, because I'm going to go with Hyatt and stuff. But when you start looking overseas, Hyatt isn't always around. Their footprint's just not as big. So we'll talk about why I picked it.
Yes, we'll get there. So when did you really start paying attention to the Choice program? Was it a trip or a destination, or did the great card offer just come across your screen and you researched? How did you get into it for the first time?
Yes, I started paying attention to it because our daughter actually lives in Norway. She married a Norwegian, and so she is actually getting ready to become a citizen of Norway. She's almost there.
Cool.
And so she's lived over there for 8 years. So we have gone actually 4 times now. And where they live in like this little village, is probably about 2.5 to 3 hours away from the nearest airport. So when we would fly in, I would need to sometimes stay at the airport before they could come and pick us up the next day, or when we were going back. And the hotels that were around those airports were always Choice Hotels, always. So I was like, okay, I think I need to, you know, check into Choice Hotels credit card and see what the deal is. Because the other thing was, we were also planning, you know, to travel around Norway, not with my daughter, but while we were there, just take a break from staying with her and travel around. And I was like, okay, I need to stock up on these points. How can I do that?
And you actually got a really great card offer when you did. And we talked a little bit about this offline, and you mentioned that it was probably because it was coming out of COVID. You know, nobody could travel for a while there. And so different hotels and airlines really wanted to get people traveling again. I don't know. After that, it kind of travel really boomed because everybody agreed and everybody was like, yes, yes, we do want to travel again. And so you got to capitalize on a really great welcome bonus at the time, right?
Yes, I did. So the welcome bonus that I saw for the card was 120,000 points. Wow. I can't remember what the spend was. Maybe it was like 2,000. And the annual fee was waived for the first year also. So 120,000 points plus the annual fee waived. I was like, well, this is a no-brainer.
Sure. No kidding. It's like that Barclays spend $1 for American Airlines card. That's wild.
Give us a frame of reference for how far that 120,000 goes, because we talk a lot about how sometimes when you see the Hilton sign up bonuses, they're this really high number, or the IHG or something, you think, oh, wow, that could get so many nights. But the frame of reference has to be a little different, because award redemptions cost way different than they do with, say, a Hyatt hotel. So when you say 120,000 points, what would that give us right now? That's twice as much, just so everybody doesn't get too excited. The welcome offer right now for their higher level card, they have a no annual fee option, a $95 annual fee option. The higher card is 60,000 points. So we hate to get everybody too excited. The 120 was a special unicorn that you got to take advantage of. But how far did that get you?
Well, their program redemptions actually start at 6,000 points. And the hotels that we've ended up staying at were about 12,000 to 20,000 points per night. And here's the other interesting thing when I was looking up information for this, that you can actually stay at all-inclusive hotels, four people in a room for 25,000 points.
What?
Did you know that?
No. Wow. Where?
I did
can
not.
You give me... Can you give us examples of where those are located? Because that is crazy.
Because I'm booking today.
The example I saw on that was something in the Dominican Republic. So I didn't go into it a whole lot just because I'm not looking for a hotel like that. But that is definitely something you would want to look into because, you know, for 75,000 points, you could stay three nights at an all-inclusive, four people.
Four people. That never happens. That is crazy. I also want to tell people that whether or not you're considering getting the card right now, you should go sign up for a Choice Privileges reward account, because I read on Frequent Miler that they were sending out targeted emails for a 70,000 point offer on this card. So it's not 120, but it's a little bump. So having these free member rewards accounts is a good idea, because you will start generating targeted offers with a lot of these different brands.
I still cannot get over this. We're going to have to dig into that. Everybody, when we hang up, we're going to be searching the all-inclusive, because most people, just in case anyone doesn't know, when you stay at an all-inclusive and you book with points, generally you are booking for two people. Mm-hmm. Even if that room has enough space in it to fit four people, your points are only covering two people, and then you have to pay extra cash or points to cover other people in your party. So the idea that it could be that affordable and cover four people, I mean, that is massive. That's a big deal for families.
Right. I tried to see if I could squeeze five people in there, because I know, Mary Ellen, you have three kids. Not a doable thing, but you could get four people.
Well, I'll ditch the kids and take my friends.
There you go.
There you go.
Four of us on a girls' trip. Oh my gosh, that would be so affordable. This is crazy. And we'll get into transfer partners later, but there's a lot of them. So you could be sharing. One person could book one night, other person could book another night. We like to do that. If you don't have the option to share points between each other, people can book separate nights. And then when you get there, a lot of times you can get the hotel to combine your reservation so you don't have to move rooms. And that's kind of a way to share the points and hack the system a little bit. So, ooh, fun. I do want to go down that rabbit hole, but that is not what we are here to talk about today. So I think what we're hearing is that the frame of reference on these redemptions is much more Hyatt adjacent than it is like Hilton or IHG. It's a little higher
for
than
sure.
A lot of Hyatts, but in general. In fact, when we had Elizabeth on to talk U.S. News rankings, which Choice Hotel came in at the top of the U.S. News rankings, which is fascinating. I think she was telling us that there was a Paris Choice Hotel for like 8,000 points a night.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what she said. I would have to go back and listen for the exact number, but I just remember thinking, that's incredibly reasonable considering the cost of hotels in Paris.
Cammy, I'm curious, do you still have that Choice card, the first one you opened? And is it one of those cards that comes with a free night every year? I love hotel cards that have a $95 annual fee, but that does include a free night every year. IHG cards are good about that. My Hyatt personal credit card is good about that. How about the Choice card that you have?
Yeah, so that Choice card that I have, that's the select one, the higher, the one with the annual fee of $95. And by the way, they've actually never charged me that fee. It's been 3 years and I've never gotten charged a fee.
That's
a Wells Fargo card, so I'm not sure, like, I don't know, Wells Fargo's not really up there in, you know, what you hear about. So anyway, I've never actually gotten charged the fee, and I've had it since June of 2023. But they give you 30,000 points per year as an annual bonus. 30,000
Which could
points.
Be like two free nights.
More yeah. than that, depending on where you're going. That's crazy.
Yep. So that's what you get every year. So not a free night, but you get the points, which is actually better, I think.
So
like when
better.
when they limit it 1 to 4, it's hard to find stuff. But when they give you 30,000 points towards a stay, that to me, that's better. I like that better.
Yeah, I completely agree. So when we're talking about Choice Hotel and all of the brands that fall under their umbrella, I think a lot of people, me included, especially before I got into Points and Miles, I never really knew what brands certain hotels were if the brand wasn't in the name. And you're going to see that a lot with Choice Hotels. So which ones are your favorite brands that fall under this umbrella?
Okay, so I would say from this most recent trip that we went on, the Comfort brand was really good. That was a really solid choice. And then also there's some hotel partnerships. You know how like airlines have partnerships with other airlines? Well, they actually have partnerships. Like they just bought Radisson. Okay, so they own the Radisson brand now. But they also have partnerships in other countries with other brands. So like one of the hotels that we stayed at was actually a Strawberry hotel, but it was a Comfort hotel, but it was a partnership. I don't know if that makes sense or not. So
yeah.
You could find it on the Choice website. That's how we booked it. But you wouldn't necessarily, maybe if you were over there, it would be associated with Strawberry, not with Choice Hotels, if that makes sense.
Kind of like the Mr. and Mrs. Smith under the Hyatt umbrella. They're still kind
Correct.
Of their own entity, but it counts as a Hyatt stay if you're booking through Hyatt.
Right. The good thing about these is you can actually book with points. A lot of times when you're looking at Hyatt and you see Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it's not usually bookable with points. You know, you can book it on there, but it's usually cash, whereas these can be booked with points.
Well, and sometimes if Mr. and Mrs. Smith properties are bookable on points, it does not follow Hyatt's traditional category award chart. Instead, it's like dynamic pricing based on cost, and it's astronomical. So when you book these partner hotels via Choice, are you still seeing reasonable redemptions or is it a lot more?
No, absolutely. Like that hotel that I'm talking about, that was in Copenhagen. That was 12,000 points a night.
Wow. And it was nice. You loved it?
It was nice. It was very nice.
Okay.
Now, I know that you, at least I think, were just traveling with your husband at that point. Any idea, can you book 4 people in a room in Norway at these hotels?
I did not try to do that. And when we actually were meeting our daughter and her family, I ended up booking 3 different rooms, but it was so reasonable. It was 12,000 points a night. So for 36,000 points, I could book, you know, 3 separate rooms, which actually helped everybody sleep better anyway.
True.
So you would have to, you know, you'd have to look into that. I thought about calling the hotel and asking if they had a room that would fit 4 people, but I never did it.
Okay. We'll dig into, maybe we'll do a little research on occupancy rules in the Scandinavia area, and we can write a little something or link an article about it in the show notes. So everybody head down there. I'll put something in there about it.
So choice hotels in Europe can be particularly valuable for families because they are showing that you can actually sleep four people in a room. And we know that's hard to find in Europe. So that would definitely be something you would want to check into.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into further details from your trip, because we do want to know lots of good details about Norway too, tell us a few things that you really like about the way the choice program works.
Okay, so one thing I like is that they do have a very wide range of hotels. So they actually have 22 brands. They're in 46 countries, and they actually have 7,500 hotels worldwide. So you're going to have a lot more choice. Haha.
Oh, there you go.
with where you can stay and hotels that you can book. So you can, you know, you can go with their economy hotels like Roadway Inn, or you could go. And places like, for instance, if you're going to a lot of national parks, you know, you're not finding the Hyatts, the IHGs, but you might find a Quality Inn or a Roadway Inn or something like that. And we have done that in different areas for national park trips. So that would be one thing. And then you can go to their mid-range hotels like Country Inn and Suites, the Comfort Hotels. Or you could go with their upper tier, which would be the Cambria Hotels. They bought Radisson, like we talked about before. They also have an Ascend collection. And then, like I said, to the all-inclusives. The other thing that they have is kind of like, it's almost, well, I think it is. It's like having a timeshare, but it's called Blue Green Vacation Resorts. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
So that's something else you can book. So it would be, you know, the equivalent of, you know, the IHG timeshare program that a lot of people are in, where you can go book a resort, you know, that's going to have a kitchen area and a living room area, and they're going to have activities at the resorts. Okay, so that's called Blue Green Vacation Resorts. Wow. And they also have preferred hotels and resorts inside the choice program. So there's a lot of different choices for whatever level of hotel you're looking for, right? So that's a really great thing about the program. You can also book hotels with points and cash. So if you don't have enough points, you can add some cash to that. And they just changed this because you didn't used to be able to do this, but you can now book up to 50 weeks in advance. Before, you could only book like 90 to 120 days out, which is kind of a pain.
Oh, wow.
But now their calendar is open 50 weeks out.
Oh, good. That's much better.
Yeah. I was like, how can you book a trip for months away when you can't even book your hotel? So I'm really glad that they changed that. The other thing I found was that if you book a hotel on Sunday through Thursday at certain hotels, you can earn a little bonus. And their bonuses were an Amazon gift card or a Starbucks card or an Uber credit or extra choice points or even airline miles with Alaska or United.
Well, 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 I love a prize.
Yeah, so you get a little prize for that.
That's amazing. Is that if you are like a Choice Rewards program member, or is it just anybody who books a Sunday through Thursday?
Now, I don't know the answer to that. I would say you probably have to be a member, so, you know, you'll want to. And I don't think it would tell you that when you make the reservation. I think that might be a surprise when you get there because it said certain hotels or select hotels. So you don't know, I don't think.
Interesting. It would be. I kind of want to dig into that a little bit more and see if there's like a set of rules or properties or a list somewhere. So I'll see what
I can. Yeah, somebody has to have tracked this somewhere.
I would think so. Okay, I have a very important question. If y'all have been listeners for a long time, you know that at one point we considered and also had for ourselves made a piece of merch that said free breakfast is our love language. It still is. It just feels that nobody speaks our love language anymore because the free breakfast world is dwindling, it feels like. But I think that it seems like Choice Hotel is still on the free breakfast terrain, which makes me love them so much. So talk to us about free breakfasts and which brands you've stayed at that offer it. Is it something you find regularly at Choice Hotels? And is there a variation between the U.S. and the European Choice Hotels market? Kind of like in with our Hyatt Places and Hyatt Houses, where we traditionally find free breakfast in the States, we oftentimes in Europe don't find the free breakfast at those same brands. So let's just have a whole segment on free breakfast.
Okay, so you will be happy to know that at every hotel we stayed at on our trip, they did give you free breakfast. And we stayed at two comfort hotels, and those had full breakfast buffets. I sent you guys the pictures of what the breakfast buffet looked like. I mean, we're not talking about a Hyatt Place breakfast. We're talking about their hot area had four different kinds of eggs, sausage, bacon, potatoes, baked beans. And then they had another station that had fruit and smoothies, and another station with all kinds of breads. Okay, so the Scandinavians are into bread. Let me just tell you that. And they have this, like, they'll have these big loaves.
As am I.
They have these big loaves and with the knife, and you cut off what you want. So baskets and baskets of breads. In Copenhagen, they had Danish. And then they also, the other thing that they have there is they eat, okay, so like this is what my daughter and her family eat for breakfast and lunch every day. It is bread with meat and cheese on it, more like an open face, like not making it into a sandwich.
Yeah. Love.
Yeah. And okay, so here's the really funny thing is, they have tubes of caviar, and that's like one of the things her kids eat, or a tube of ham and cheese spread. It's like a tube, like a toothpaste tube.
Ew. I don't know about that.
Okay, I'm not on board with that one, but yeah, I love that they offer it.
Yeah, yeah, but they have those there too. So, and the other thing is they are super conscious over there about allergens. And like when you go to a restaurant, it tells you every single allergen that is in every dish. And so because they're so super conscious, they do have a complete section for gluten-free. Okay, like a whole station
that's
for
wonderful.
Gluten-free.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, Mary Ellen's got a family, you know, kiddos with allergies. And that's such a big deal to have the full disclosure about everything that's in there. But this breakfast spread sounds like a globalist club access breakfast spread at like a nice Hyatt. And yet it's just the free breakfast that everybody else gets. It's amazing.
Right, that everybody gets. And you guys have talked before about grabbing your peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You can totally do that here. There's bread, there's meat, there's cheese. Oh, I forgot to say there's actually a salad bar too.
At the breakfast?
For breakfast. Yes. Yes. So, but one thing to note is, and this is different than America, there are not mini fridges and microwaves in rooms there. No mini fridges. So if you're going to grab something for later, you need to have a cooler or something like that, or not be somebody who worries about this is going to be bad by lunchtime. Okay.
Which is me. But I know that food, there's less, you know, the preservatives and all that, the way of food staying fresh is a little bit different there. The quality of the food is different maybe than here. But I am one of those people. I know Joe and I laugh when we have gone on vacation together, and the things that she saves and eats, I am like, absolutely not. Never.
I'm like, but this burger sat out all night. It's probably fine. It's probably fine.
Oh,
look,
I cannot.
Feel like I'm a refrigeration conspiracy theorist, okay? Like in Europe, you don't have to refrigerate eggs. They don't, like, there is much less refrigeration. Everything's somehow fine. So I'm just saying, I think a sandwich can last 6 hours without refrigeration. You can still eat it, even if it's got some meat on it. So I've never gotten sick. I'm still doing fine.
Yes, we totally did that. So we bought some food one night when we were at Tivoli Gardens, and we were going to eat it for lunch the next day. You know, it was like a wrap that had all kinds of stuff in it. And we're like, well, we'll see what happens. We were on our way home, so we were fine. Let me go ahead and tell you about the other hotels that we stayed at that had food, because this is even more amazing than just getting this free, you know, gourmet breakfast every day. So we stayed at a hotel in Oslo that was called the Hotel Christiana. And they also had a giant breakfast buffet. And they even had one of those orange juice machines where they just throw the oranges in. And it squeezes it fresh right there for you. It's like, okay, this is on the free. You know how much that, you know, a glass of that costs? This is free on the breakfast buffet along with all the other things. But my very favorite hotel brand out of this whole trip that we went on was called Home Hotels. I had never heard of it until I got on the Choice website to start making reservations for this trip. And I think, again, that it is one of those partnerships hotels, because when you look at the brand names for Choice, Home Hotel is not one of the brands that they have. So we stayed at one of these in the city of Bergen, and we also stayed in one of these in the city of Stavanger. And these hotels not only had a huge breakfast buffet, but they also had an afternoon fika, F-I-K-A, fika, okay?
They do fika in Sweden too.
Right. So think, for us Americans, think coffee break. But it emphasizes the importance of stepping away from work to relax, recharge, and connect with people over coffee or tea and a baked good. And their baked good that they had for these was not a Belgian waffle, but they have super, super thin waffles or super thin pancakes that you spread with sour cream and jam, and then you might just like eat it with your hands even. So they would have that out every afternoon from like 3 to 5 at these home hotels. And then after that, in the evening, starting at 6 o'clock, they served a full meal included in your room.
What? It's like club access.
Yeah. Yeah, full meal.
Could you give us an example of what the food was for dinner?
Okay, so one of the hotels they had, of course, they had bread out, they had soup, they had a salad station, and then they had, you know, some kind of meat. So I think one night it was like pork chops and vegetables, and another night it was a bunch of salads, soup, and then a pasta dish. The thing it didn't include was it didn't include dessert, which you could buy, or drinks other than like water and coffee and tea. So if you wanted, you know, a beer or a cocktail or whatever, you could order that and pay for that extra. But it was all all you can eat for this. So you just go in at 6 o'clock and get dinner too. So one thing I want to say about that is you guys haven't ever been over there, but food there is very expensive. Like, we took my daughter out to eat dinner one night, and we're talking about two kids' meals and like hamburgers. It was $120 for the five of us. So you're talking about at least $30 a person on a meal. So that's, for us, that saved us $60 a night. And here's the other thing. It was so great to go out all day sightseeing. You've done your 20,000 steps or whatever, and then it's night and you're like, I just can't wait to go back to this hotel and have dinner and go up to my room. I don't have to go search for a restaurant and figure out where I need to go. And the other thing is, one of the cities that we were staying in is the rainiest city in Norway. So, you know, it's like, okay, I'm soaked. I'm tired. I'm tired of being wet. I just want to go back to my hotel, get on some dry, warm clothes, and go sit down and have my cozy dinner.
Honestly,
what incredible value for families.
That's wild. Do you remember what you paid per night in points for this one, the home hotels?
15,000 points
a night. Shut up. No. That's crazy. You can't even get club access rooms for that at all. It's so wild. Okay, I'm literally about to plan an entire trip based around this hotel that gives out a lot of free food. Like, I don't even care where it is at this point.
I don't care what city it's in.
Just feed me.
There'll be something to see there.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so I don't know if those are just in Norway, because when we were in Denmark, we stayed at the Comfort Hotel. It might just be a Norway thing, so you'd have to look into that.
Yeah, I do wonder, because they have that fika built in, I wonder if they have those in Sweden as well, because I was under the impression that fika is actually a Swedish word. I guess I could be wrong, but I know that in Sweden, like, I feel like Americans can't conceptualize this. They build fika into the workday. It is a thing that everybody does. You stop working. Does not matter where you are. If you work at a company, everybody stops. Everybody goes into the break room. Everybody has their tea, coffee, pastries. Like, it's crazy. It's amazing. I love the idea of having that kind of break built in.
Now that we all want to go to Norway, because clearly we're seeing the value there. And as me, it's funny because even with my family, now I don't think January is probably not the time I want to go, but we're thinking our next trip that we go on, and we're right now in our minds, we're talking about a trip for January. I'm like, we need to go somewhere that we can enjoy a lot of free activities and where the points and miles can really pay for most of it, because we had a destination in mind where we had a great hotel, but I was like, there's so all the activities we're going to do here are going to cost a lot of money. I don't know that this actually is going to be an affordable trip. But it sounds like with Norway, with the way that you can build in a lot of your meals into the price of your hotel that is already a steal of a deal, now my wheels are spinning that maybe this is an affordable place to visit, because there's so much beauty outside in Norway. So a lot of those activities, I'm hoping to hear from you, that they are free, right? Hikes and things like that. So tell us, what are some of the things that we can do in Norway? Some of the things that we should definitely see when we're there.
Well, you should definitely do one of their epic hikes. So I don't know, have you guys ever seen the Pulpit Rock or Preikestolen hike?
Nope.
Okay, so it was actually in one of the Mission Impossible movies. Oh, so wow. Tom Cruise did a fight scene on top of Preikestolen in, I think it was the next to last movie. They said it was in some other country in the movie, but it was really in Norway, and that's where they did it. So take a look at that movie. You'll see where I'm talking about. So from one of the cities, which would be Stavanger, you could... you would have to have a car or go on a tour to get to that, because it's a little ways away. You could probably take public transportation. That's another thing. Their public transportation there is good, because we did not rent a car and we went around Norway for a week. But you know, when you have five people, that can get costly too. And then like from Bergen, you could also, from both Bergen and Stavanger, which are on the West Coast, you could do hiking, you could do a fjord cruise. So going into the fjord on a boat, which was a reasonable price. Like you said, if you're not spending the money on food, you're going to have the money to spend on something else, right? So that's something you could do.
Are these places like very scenic and beautiful, or are they more kind of just traditional city looking? I truly like know nothing about Norway or what it looks like.
Norway on that side of, well, I think all of Norway is like this, but there's islands like everywhere, right? So if you're, let's say you're in Bergen, you are seeing lots of islands out in the water. And there they have two different rides to go up to the top of a mountain. It's surrounded by seven mountains. So one of the rides is a funicular, if you know what that is. Okay, so
yes,
you can
I
ride
do.
That.
Train expert.
Yes, you can ride that up to the top of the mountain in Bergen. And I thought, well, you know, I don't even know if they're going to let us get out of this thing or whatever. But we got up there. And Mary Ellen, I know you're always talking about kids' playgrounds. You should see the playground at the top of this mountain. And they had a lake with free kayak rentals.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
It's done. My trip next summer, I've been at a loss for inspiration. I've seen pictures and videos of Norway. I do know that it is stunningly beautiful. And that just, and I know my husband wants to go there, which is key, because I told him we could go to the Pacific Northwest. Maybe we still will, but my heart wants to go somewhere super exciting, and Norway sounds like it's it.
I'm looking at pictures of Bergen right now with all of their cute little multicolored homes lining the water. Oh my goodness gracious, it looks so good.
How free kayaks?
Yes, and the stunning picture I got of that at night from across the harbor with the reflection of that. That's their very famous waterfront area.
Yep. You know what? We'll put that up in our stories with a link to this episode. So if everybody can see it, we'll try to save that as a highlight so people can see that picture. It's, I mean, incredible. I know that this is not really like what the point of the episode was to deep dive how to do this, but I am curious about your flights to get there. So let's just touch on that for a second. Like, how would you recommend people get to Bergen, for example, from the U.S.?
Okay, well, the way we did it was because since we go over there every 2 years, part of what we're trying to do is see some other places because it's the only time we're hopping across the pond. And so, like, this time we went to Copenhagen first. Okay, so we flew from Indianapolis, which is a smaller airport. You know, we have transitioned or repositioned to Chicago, and I just hate doing that. So I tried to find tickets out of Indianapolis, which we did, and it was 48,000 points round trip from Indianapolis to Copenhagen. Okay.
Wow.
So on which airline?
On American.
Okay.
And then to get to Norway, we used, I did it through the KLM website, but it was Scandinavian, so SAS Airlines. And it was only 5,000 points to get from there.
He's a little puddle jumper.
Norway. Right.
Yeah. And everybody transfers to KLM. So that's so easy to grab those points. That's amazing. I do wonder if this American flight is bookable through Alaska. I would definitely want to dig into that just because I have a lot more Alaska miles than I have American, especially with that new Atmos card, you guys. I just feel like that's going to be a really key player. Now I want to go to Norway. So that's fun. I feel like we skipped over a few things though, when we were talking, we have never talked about this on the podcast before, but some point currencies expire. And I don't know why we've never talked about this, but maybe we need to have a whole mini on the ones that expire and the ones that don't. That would probably be pretty valuable. Do choice rewards expire? I feel like that's a really important question.
You have 18 months if you have no activity in your account, they're going to expire. But if you hold the credit card, which if you want to get into, you know, the Choice Hotels, you're going to have one of their credit cards, you're going to get that 30,000 points every year for paying the $95 annual fee if they make you pay it. So, it's just one of those cards that you would just hold on to every year, and that would be your activity. So,
there you go. That's
good
like
to know.
An easy way to do it.
Choice also has a partnership with Avis and Budget Rental Cars. I know you said that when you guys went to Norway, at least this last time, you didn't rent a car at all, which I love hearing because I really hate renting cars and try to avoid it. Whenever I can do public transportation, train travel, I much prefer that. But talk to us a little bit about that partnership.
Okay, so they do actually have a partnership with Avis and with Budget, which I think are basically the same brand, right? So if you provide your Choice Privileges number when you're booking, then you can get points for that booking, right? And then you can also receive a discount if you use the Choice code, you know, the AWD code that you put in when you're renting cars. So they have one for Choice specifically that you can put in there. And you can also redeem points for rentals. Now,
Wow.
We never redeem points for car rentals. That's the one thing that we always pay for. And a lot of times it's because we're going on a trip with Joanna's mom and dad and we're splitting the cost of that. So that's something that we don't usually ever pay for with points. But that is something you could do if you had, you know, millions of choice points.
One of the things I love about Choice is that in addition to being able to earn these points with the actual Choice credit card and their sign-up bonuses, there's also a number of different places that you can combine these points from. And these are pretty exciting. So Amex transfers one-to-one to Choice. Capital One also transfers one-to-one to Choice. But what's really interesting is that Citi, in some cases, transfers 1-2 to Choice, which is super, super crazy. So which one of these currencies did you use? Did you have to use anything outside of what you earned through Choice to supplement for this trip?
Yes, we did have to use, I don't have a Citi card and I don't want to pay that high annual fee, but we do have a Capital One Venture X card. And I did transfer some points over from that. Now, when I did this, I actually did use that 120,000 point sign-up bonus. And then it had been 2 years, okay, since I got that. And so I had the 30,000 points and the 30,000 points. So I was working with 180,000 points. I had used some of that. But if I hadn't, we did book all the hotels for this trip for 170,000 points. So we had 5 nights at a Choice hotel, 3 nights at the hotel in Oslo, which was the Hotel Christiana, 3 nights at the Home Hotel in Bergen that gave you dinner, and 1 night at the Home Hotel in Stavanger. So that was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
12.
Yeah, 12 nights for 170,000 points.
That's crazy. That is
good
crazy.
With food.
I'm losing it right now. Everything else is off the table. Norway and Choice hotels only forever. That's crazy. I can't even wrap my head around that. And I know like the annual fee on the Citi Strata Elite specifically is very high. Not something I would ever consider for multiple years. And we did a mini episode about this card that we can link in the show notes for you guys. But it is something that I think I would consider for the first year with the massive sign-up bonus and the other things that come with this card. I think I might consider it just to have a bunch of points that would turn into twice the points if you transferred them over to Choice. That's crazy. I wonder what the cash value of all of your 12 nights would be. Do you have that number?
Of course I do. it was just slightly over $4,000.
Amazing. Amazing. So even, I can't remember off the top of my head what the annual fee is on that card. I think it's somewhere around the $700 mark. But if you think about that just as like a pay to play, $700 for $4,000 of stays is great. That's a huge discount. $700 averaged out over 12 nights is next to nothing for each night that you're spending, especially with all that free food. So even just right there, if that was the only thing you opened that card for in order to get yourself on a big trip like this, I think it would be a valuable move for people. My mind is spinning. I got to do some research.
Right. And here's the other thing that I want to say is we were going during prime season. Okay. Wow. This was not a trip to Norway in February or March. We were there July and August.
Yes. Okay. High season.
Yes.
What is weather like over there in July and August?
Well, if you go to Bergen, which like I said, is the rainiest city in Norway, it pretty much rained every day. So you want to have good rain gear when you go to Norway. Let me just say that. And I would say the temperatures we're talking about maybe in the 60s. That's normal. Okay. So it depends on like where my daughter lives in the south part of Norway. That's considered the summer vacation area of Norway. They have a lot of beaches and stuff. It can be 75 to 80 degrees there a few days. So the further north you go from that, like, you know, you might look it up and it might be 50s, 60s and maybe some rain. So just be prepared for that. It's not a tropical It's not a tropical destination by any stretch of the imagination.
It sounds like a great summer getaway when you want to leave the 100 degrees, especially for my friends in the Southeast that have very hot, humid summers, even though it's raining in Norway. Still a little bit of rain, but sounds fantastic to me in 60 degrees. As we're wrapping up, just tying a bow on the Choice Privilege Program, we talk a lot when we're talking about Hyatt about being explorist or the goal of being globalist because of all the perks you get. With Choice, does it really, I feel like loyalty may not matter as much when you're already getting free food. It sounds like that's one of the reasons that we want to be globalist is for the free breakfast. So, do you know much about the loyalty program or does it really not matter that much for Choice?
I don't know a whole lot about it. When I looked into what the different levels are, okay, so there's four different levels. If you sign up for the credit card, you're automatically platinum, which is their third level up. And since we're always booking with points, we're not worried about how many points per dollar we're going to get when we pay cash because we're not going to pay cash. You might get a free... Let's say you opened the credit card, so you're automatically platinum. Well, you're going to get access to early and late checkout. You're going to get a food or beverage gift or points at check-in. You might get possible room upgrades. If you've ever been to a Choice hotel, we didn't park a car, but they'll have a sign outside on some of the parking spots. Preferred parking for platinum members, right? Okay, Really, I really don't care about that. One thing is that you do get 19 rollover nights with the platinum level, but you have to have 40 nights to have diamond status. And their next perk that they're giving you is free breakfast at select properties. So yeah, it doesn't really make sense. And it's not like Hyatt where your free nights that you booked count towards status. They don't. So I can't really see any advantage to trying to go after status in this program. They just have too many other perks that they're giving away for free when you're just booking a room.
Yeah. I think that's really, really important to note. It doesn't really seem to matter. And honestly, that's a great thing because chasing status is too much work in my opinion. I don't really do it. Okay. Well, Cammie, talk to us a little bit about what's coming up then in your future. I happen to know you're going on like three trips with my parents between now and the end of the year. So you can talk to us a little about those. And also maybe if you have your eye on any cards coming up, what's your plan there with the rewards?
Okay, so yeah, we do have some trips planned. We were supposed to actually be leaving today for a trip that we had planned to North Cascades National Park, and we had to make the tough decision last week to cancel that trip because of the forest fires that are happening out there in Washington State right now. But because we had been there, my husband and I had been there 2 years ago when there was a forest fire and we could not cancel our reservations, we decided to make a plan B, and that's what we did. And so our plan B is to go to Carlsbad Caverns. If you've never been to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico, it is spectacular. And not only is the cave spectacular, but they have a bat flight program. So every evening you sit out in this big amphitheater that they built, and when the sun starts to set, hundreds of thousands of bats fly out of the cave every night. So I am super looking forward to that. When we were there last time, it was November, and it was just a trickle of bats coming out, but we're going to be in prime season here for that. So that's one of the trips we have planned. And then the next trip that we have planned is actually to Puerto Rico. And then we have a trip we just are booking this next week, a cruise. And one of the places that we're going to be going is Grand Cayman, because one of my neighbors told me that the snorkeling in Grand Cayman is the best that they've ever done in their life. And they actually even bought a place down there at one point because it was so fantastic. So I'm really, really looking forward to that.
They weren't kidding. If they went all to the trouble of buying a place, that sounds incredible.
I told my parents, and they're like, you guys are living the life over here, just trip after trip. Who are these people? I don't even know them.
It is so fun. So anyway, that's some of the trips that we have coming up. And we're I'm trying to rebook North Cascades for next summer. We'll try it again. We always like to make everything cancelable just in case they have a fire again.
No
so
kidding.
Hoping that they don't, but we'll see. As far as credit cards, my husband and I were actually denied for Citi credit cards about 2 weeks ago. We have never been denied for a credit card. Our credit scores are over 800. Our letter was because we had too much credit usage and also because our credit card history wasn't long enough, even though I've had a credit card for 20 years.
This is someone in our Facebook group just posted this saying she was denied for, by the way, her second Citi card. They gave her the first one. And the reason they gave her was that her credit history wasn't long enough.
They do it as an average. So if you have one card you've had for 20 years, but you have six cards that you've had for 2 years, I think it brings down the average length of your credit history.
It does. Yeah, I just researched that.
We actually have to pay estimated taxes every quarter, and that's coming up here on September 15th. So I'm like, man, it kills me to just put that on a regular, I'm going to only earn 2x points credit card, or to write a check, right? Which you're going to do if you don't want to pay the fee to put it on your credit card. So I did actually get approved. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it again. This must just be a Citibank thing. And I was approved for an IHG business card with the 200,000 point bonus after a $6,000 spend in 6 months. So that's what I'm going to go with for now. I got the business card so it wouldn't count towards 524.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When one door closes, another one opens.
Yep, I just told the story of getting denied for the Southwest and then hopping immediately same day on the current Hawaiian offer, which you guys can listen to the mini that has a lot more bumps in that story. But still a great offer because those are about to be Alaska Atmos miles. Very useful for redemptions that we like to take on flights. So it's always a pivoting and a flexibility game, I feel like, when you're in the points and miles space. But it is crazy to me to imagine anybody wanting to deny you guys for a credit card. You seem like prime candidates to be credit card holders for any bank, I would think. So just shows you that they all have their kind of weird rules and stipulations, and none of them are written outright. So you got to just throw things
at
the wall.
And it's a good reminder. Yeah, don't take things personally, because it's hard for any of us. We hate getting a denial, right? We just take it personally. Like, how dare they? How could they not like me? But in this points and miles world, it is going to happen. And it's some algorithm. It probably was not even a human that had any part of approving or denying you. It was just some weird algorithm AI that they had, and it can change. So keep that in mind, everybody. It does happen. Happens to the best of us. Happens to people who've been doing it for 20 years, and you get approved for something else and you keep right on along traveling. So there is hope. We can still keep traveling. We just have to pivot. Well, Cammie, thank you so much again for joining us. We really appreciate you spending your time with us and telling us more about your adventures. You're always going somewhere fabulous, so I'm sure we'll hear about another trip in the future.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Really appreciate it.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.